It's a slippery slope we climb, and I'm slipping all the time. But they don't pay no mind, they don't care about us. And that's okay, I guess. In fact, it's for the best. So you just get some rest and let me drive the bus. Let's put some road behind us, some place where they can't find us. Oh hell, I don't care if they do. 'Cause you've got stars around you, but I was the one who found you. In case you wonder. Got plans to make. We're just one lucky break before we face a fall. Let's put some road behind us, some place where they can't find us. Oh hell, I don't care if they do. 'Cause you've got stars around you.
That's Hamilton-based singer-songwriter Dwayne Rutter with the song entitled Who Found Who from his new album Crazy Things. It's his third recording, an album of bluesy country roots songs. And Dwayne Rutter is our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. How are you doing today, Dwayne?
I'm doing very, very well. How are you?
Great. It's great to be able to talk to you. I'm pretty excited about this new album. I don't know, but my sense is that this new album is taking you to a higher level as far as your music is concerned. We're going to talk about some of the special guests that play on it, but you must be pretty excited with the way that Crazy Things turned out.
I'm very excited. I was just going through my phone the other day where when I write these days, I use a record function on my iPhone, and all of those songs are on there from the time I wrote them when they were sort of in different forms. And I've got several versions of them with just me and my, what I call my studio, which is actually my wife's walk-in closet that I took over about 18 years ago. And, you know, you can hear various seasons going on outside while I was creating these things. So it's interesting the way they've come out of my head into the phone and then coming out as this record.
Now, I was surprised that this is just the third recording. I had imagined that you'd actually made more albums than that, because you've been playing a long time and certainly well known in our area of Southern Ontario. Tell us a little bit about your past as a musician.
Well, I've been kicking tires for an awful long time. It tends to be a long process for me between albums, but I was well into my, geez, I might have been in my 40s when I made my first real record with Busted Flat. Prior to that, I'd been making my own recordings at home with various four tracks and cassettes, and you know, and trying to put those out there. And you know, I must have a suitcase full of rejection letters, and just trying to get the music out. And I've been playing as a side guy, and you know, since I was 14 years old. I'm 52 now, playing all the little bars. And I was a bassist for some blues bands and some country bands, and just took whatever gigs I could get anywhere all these years. So I've really come up, you know, I've really worked my way, maybe the long way, but it's been another one of those 35-year overnight successes.
Well, that's the best sort of overnight success to have. Crazy Things is a great album. I've got to say, I love it. I love the songs. You're well known as a very strong songwriter, but you seem to have brought together a wonderful selection of songs for this album. We started out with Who Found Who, and I just wanted to give you a chance to talk about that song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, these songs kind of came together in a whole different way, and a little phrase I tell myself is strive for art, but focus on craft. And on my previous records, I love those records, but there was a lot of, I was completely and totally expressing myself without regard really to the old-fashioned craft of trying to fit everything together in 3 minutes or whatever. And I never really bothered myself with that too much. And I thought, as these songs came together, maybe it was a maturation process as a writer, but I really wanted to try and say this is the songwriting form, which artists tend to, like deeply internal artists tend to poo-poo form and all that stuff. And, you know, and I reminded myself that Picasso didn't paint those crazy sideways paintings right off the bat. He did a lot of portraits and standard kind of art. So I noticed as I was writing that they were coming together in a more I hate to use the word, but I'm not too ashamed of it. The pop form with verse choruses and catchy taglines and whatnot. And it wasn't something that I necessarily intended to happen, but I know with my last two records, as much as I love them, I really did go off and explore and not really give a hoot about how long the songs were. I was really thinking in terms of people who like my records and who like my music in that form. But something kind of clicked with this record, and with all the songs on that record, something came together as I would hate to say a maturation process of years of writing, but they just came together right. And Who Found Who, the words, really, I didn't do a whole lot of editing. As I sat down, the words flowed and the music came, and you know, really from the old phone recording, the early phone recordings, it hasn't changed that much.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because when I was starting to listen to this album, one thing that struck me immediately was how many of these songs were suitable for radio play. Typically, you know, you'll find two or three, and often the publicist that sends the album out will suggest, you know, these are the tracks that, you know, the artist likes or that seems most suitable for radio play. The reality with this album is I'm listening to it and think, wow, there's seven or eight different tracks I'd love to play on the radio, because they have that great feel to them. Is that just because of the way these songs came together? I mean, do you think it's the song or is it the production? I know you worked with Andrew Aldridge on the album. He produced it. He also plays electric guitar. Can you talk a little bit about the actual process of recording this album?
Well, sure. And I think to start, maybe this is it's just occurred to me now, because I've kind of been asked that question about the more format friendliness of the songs. We started after I'd written the songs, Andrew and I, and putting our band together. We've been playing them for a year. We've worked the songs out the old-fashioned way. We played them live and to see what would happen, and the arrangements might change a little bit here and there. And so we really kind of worked them out on the road. So by the time we got into the studio, we trimmed the fat, and we're everybody to a person on the record are succinct players. We value quality over quantity. So anything that seemed a little extraneous was just it seemed to fall away on its own volition, just because of the way the self-editing of the great players I've got. So I think they sort of came together that way through the, like I say, the old-fashioned way of writing them, playing them live, and seeing what works and what doesn't.
So tell us a little bit about the band that you put together. I mean, this is very much a band record, but let's talk about the players, because I think you brought together some pretty strong musicians on this album.
Yeah, absolutely. I played with bassist Carrie Ashworth. She's actually on my first record, Waiting Room. She plays an upright, a bowed upright bass, and I've worked with her off and on over the past 10 years. Whenever I could get her, she's pretty popular, and that was the case with everybody in my band. The core of the band has been Steve Wood from Kitchener, Andrew and myself, and Nick Burson, the percussionist, the drummer. He doesn't like the word percussionist. I'm a drummer. Nick won the Hamilton Music Award Drummer of the Year last year. Steve Wood, pedal steel player, which is he's very prominent on the record, a very key ingredient. He plays with Steve and Stony Lonesome and out of Kitchener, and he's really picked up a lot of work. I brought him into the Hamilton scene a couple years ago to work on a couple of projects, and everybody's pulling at him now. It's quite amazing.
And you have JB Reed on vocals as well, and I'm interested in how that works, because there is a great blend between the voices.
JB is a wonder of nature. She has a band called the Human Orchestra out of Hamilton, and it's a large band, about seven or eight pieces, and she's very dynamic, and she has a very draw you in look, a very interesting stage presence. And I worked with her on a Johnny Cash tribute show a couple years ago. She was on the bill and I was on the bill, and we just kind of kept our eyes on each other for the year or so. About almost a year to the day, we're about a week away, I did a show at the Staircase Theater in Hamilton, and I brought what became this record and a bunch of other songs that were considered for the record. I brought them in to a packed, turn them away at the door theater, and the band, which was then just Andrew and Nick and I, and we played those songs for the first time. Some of the songs were the first time I'd played them in front of anybody. In fact, Nick was writing out charts in the lobby just before the show. And JB had heard about the show and said, hey, maybe we could do a duet or something. And I, great. We decided that maybe she would do one of my songs. So I sent her Number One, which is on the album. And she just nailed it. And you can find that on YouTube. It's the first time we ever did it. The very first time we'd ever played it together was live in front of this huge audience. And we've been, we call ourselves the Dynamic Duo ever since.
I'd like to take a break with another song from the album, actually the title track, because she's very prominent on that song, isn't she?
She very much is. And that, in the live show, she takes a couple of verses. And it was a no-brainer to have her take a verse on the recorded version. It's very powerful. I mean, some of the songwriters, sometimes we write about things that may or may not be all that pleasant. And tend to relive them through our performances. And with JB, as with all the songs that she's on, when she takes the lead or takes a prominent role, it changes that dynamic and makes that song someone else's song. It makes it allows me to hear it from the outside as opposed to listening to it from the inside. So it's an amazing and wonderful gift.
Let's play that just now. This is Dwayne Rutter with the title track from his new album, Crazy Things, featuring the wonderful vocals of JB Reid. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
Well, she drew her hands right across my face, and she blew my mind into outer space. And she kissed my cheek, and she rubbed my neck, and said, "Your better days haven't happened yet." So I closed my eyes and I breathed in deep. I thought of promises that she couldn't keep. When I looked again, she had up and gone. That'll happen with us when you leave them close too long. Heart so strange, make people do crazy things.
I got up to wash my face and slick back my hair. It's been getting long.
My throat's dry, and the only water here is in these tired old eyes. So I pack my bag, threw them in my truck. I didn't lock the door, I left a couple bucks. Heart so strained, made people do crazy things.
That's Dwayne Rudder with the title track from the new album, Crazy Things. He's our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. I wanted to ask you about some of the little playful additions on this album, and that's there's a little bit of a psychedelic thing going on here. There's also some what you describe in the notes as modern sounds put in there. What was your feeling when you decided to do that?
Well, this goes back to when I was a kid, like a 10-year-old, listening to Pink Floyd. You know, I love the drama, and I love that, which we've gotten away from. You know, as we've simplified the folk music and the roots music is simplified down to, you know, very dry vocals, and you know, to present a very realistic thing. And when I was a kid, I remember, you know, my parents were a big fan of Waylon Jennings and Kris Kristofferson, and those are my heroes as well. And I thought, if I could only one day make a record that melds Pink Floyd with Waylon Jennings, man, I'd really have something. And, you know, Sturgill Simpson sort of touched on that with Metamodern Sounds, which, you know, took the world by storm. The country world set Nashville kind of on its ear. And I thought, wow, that's exactly what I was thinking of, but I'd already kind of started playing with that. And Andrew Aldridge is known as a soundscape artist with his guitar work, and of course he was really into this, you know. And I said, let's throw some surprises in there, and you know, it's all part of the story. And if you listen to the record from song one to the very end, it tells a story. And whether you know what the story is, there's something, we paste it so it takes you from one place to the next place to the next place. And all those little things we added in there are part of that journey.
Well, there's a couple of people who play on this album we haven't mentioned just yet. I want to bring them into the conversation now. That is the band's Garth Hudson and his wife, Sister Maud. They're prominent on, I think, what, three tracks that you recorded with them?
We did three, and we kept one that's good. We're trying to put out for a download for Christmas. He played on Who Found Who, and the last track, and Sister Maud sang with me on the last track. She also sang with me on the track that we didn't include in the album, as did Garth play on that as well. So, long story short, yes, they played on three.
So tell us about their contribution, because we're going to play the final track today, and this is just a teaser for everybody listening. It's a 10-minute track, which blew my mind when I first listened to it. Absolutely fabulous, fabulous song with some incredible keyboard flourishes from Garth. But tell us a little bit about how you got hooked up with them for the album.
Well, I grew up in Norfolk County, not too far from where the Dangles grew up. And you know, Rick and his brothers, and in fact, his father worked with my father at a factory that I ended up working in as well for a number of years. And it's a very, even today, it's quite an insular community. So I also played with Rick's brother Terry for a bit and on a few shows, and we had a little Atkinson, Danko and Rudder, or Danko Atkinson and Rudder, I can't remember, but it was very familiar. All of those folks were sort of familiar, and I don't really know how. I guess maybe Maud and I, Sister Maud and I, struck up a friendship quite some time ago. Kind of based on that, like we just didn't feel like we were strangers. And Garth, you know, when we got talking, Garth grew up not too far from where I live, and we knew the same places and the same out of the way places. And you know, we talked about building houses out here, and it was an aside from the fact that holy cow, that's Garth Hudson. We became friends, and you know, boy, if you could have told a 10-year-old me that would happen one day, I would have called you a liar.
It's funny you say that, because when we listen to this final track, Take That Water, which is absolutely fabulous, I had a holy cow moment when I listened to him play. I said, holy cow, that's Garth Hudson playing on there. It's amazing. I got to be honest, 10 minutes is a little long for the radio, but for the type of music that I put on, it fits perfectly. You must have been really thrilled, though, with the contributions you got from them.
It was quite interesting. I was. In fact, I was at the studio. I was down in Rhinebeck, New York, which is close to where they live, and that's where their preferred studio. And it took a few months to set up the date. And it was interesting because they wanted to know what the songs were, and they wanted the lyrics, and they wanted to go through them and make sure they've set a policy where they don't include themselves on anything they perceive as a contribution to the negative. They feel the world has got enough negativity in it that they've in fact turned down some pretty high profile songwriters and country singers and musicians that they felt the subject matter of the song was too too negative. And so they went through all of my songs, and this one in particular, they had some issues with some of the lyrics, so it didn't look like we were going to do it. We'd been up all night. It was about 24 hours we'd been up in the studio, and I'd been recording some bed tracks, and we'd finished up, and the sound crew and Paul Antonell, who owns the studio, said, "That's it, we're beat. We gotta go." And Maud, Sister Maud, says, "What about that Tobacco Field song?" And Paul said, "No, we're done. We just can't do any more." And I said, "Paul, how many times is Garth Hudson going to ask me if they can record one of my songs? Come on!" And so, in the darkness of the early morning in the Catskills, we went back into the booth, and there was just myself on guitar, and Sister Maud in the next vocal booth with a window between us, and Garth at the piano. And we ran through the song twice, and what we got was pure bliss. And you ask what, you know, you mentioned it must have been a thrill, and I tell you, the whole experience working with them was more, it was more musician to musician. I was never made to feel because it was Garth. He talked to me like he talked to any musician, and I really appreciated that. The moment that really got me was, and you can hear it on the song, is when I say, "Take one, Garth." And I think to myself as I'm saying that, holy moly, I'm talking to Garth Hudson. And at the end of the record, Garth takes a solo, does a little solo piece on his own, which wasn't planned. And if you can imagine, 6:30 in the morning by this time, crew in the studio are rolling up cables, dim light sort of, you know, in the room, and Garth is playing this part, and we sort of gravitated around the piano while he played it, and just kind of awestruck watched and listened. You know, it's such a special gift. It was his interpretation of that song put through his many, many musical filters and coming out as that. What a gift.
It certainly is fantastic. I was going to ask you about that specific part of the song because it's right at the end. Mm-hmm. And as you say, I mean, it really is pure Garth Hudson. Absolutely fabulous. We're going to play that song very shortly, but I do want to ask you about a couple of other things. That is the live experience, and particularly the fact that you're heading down to the Bluebird Cafe, the famed Bluebird Cafe in Nashville, this coming week. You must be pretty excited about that.
I'm ecstatic about that. I mean, I've had so many bucket list experiences this year. In one year, I'm just in awe of everything that's happened. I got to play Green Hall down in New Brunswick, Texas, and Stomp Around and Breathe the Dust of Townes Van Zandt and you know, those heroes, which was amazing that I could even do it. Just made a few phone calls. And the Bluebird is notoriously difficult to get in, especially if you're living in the middle of a cornfield in southern Ontario. And the fact that I knew a few people and was able to circumnavigate that and get down there is, it means a lot to people now because of the Nashville TV series, which is a big hit, and it's centered loosely around the Bluebird. But it's, as you know, it's always been the mecca of where the songwriters go to try out the new works, and anybody stops by. So just to be in the room, you know, if I didn't play a note, if I could just focus my gaze on the stage area for a few seconds, that would have been great. But to actually get up there and be able to play on that stage is beyond anything I could have ever hoped for.
And what about the live shows? I mean, this is very much a band album. Mm-hmm. Are you playing as a band for the shows that you're doing at this time?
Yeah, we've been so busy that I've now, with the success of the record, I've now been trying to plan phase two. I think we need some bigger rooms, and those are slowly trickling in. The live experience is quite unique with us, and it's all seemed to have come naturally as well. It's a very positive, uplifting, happy time. You know, I spent so many years focusing around a stool in a corner and hoping that somebody might listen, but the band experience is, there's no head down anymore. We're full tilt boogie, and we're, you know, our purpose is to get the songs out, but it's to give people a break for an hour or two. You know, it's really quite amazing, and I think it's largely to do with the great personalities of everybody in the band. They're just, to a person, are just great, kind, nice people who exude that, their love of music, and it's I've been told many times it's contagious.
If people want to learn more about your music, how can they do that?
They can log into www.bustedflatrecords.com. There's a whole page for my music and my backstory there, or www.duanerutter.com. And I'm on Facebook, and I'm on Twitter, and I'm on Instagram, and all those things.
All those things. Yeah. Well, look, it's been great to talk to you today. Let's play that song. I'm going to get you to introduce it.
Okay. Well, here's Take That Water with Garth Hudson and Sister Maude Hudson and Duane Rutter Band.
That's great, Duane. It's been fabulous talking to you today. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall. And have a great time in Nashville.
Oh, thank you very, very much.
Take that water, dig it down to the field. Take that water, dig it down to the field. Better give them boys. Exercising your free will, ain't done nothing wrong.
heart. Bang drum cold as polished steel. Got a big bad heart. Bang drum cold as polished steel.
So was just your meme. Sometimes you gotta burn the whole damn truck just to get back behind the wheel.
Yeah. Have you seen my horses? Something spooked, that's for sure. Something spooked them, that's for sure. Might have been a coyote, I don't know. Everything was just a blur. Don't you spook my horses. You're gonna get what you deserve. Play me one, Garth.
Better give them boys a break. feel.